As followers of Jesus Christ, we're different. Or at least we should be. And we can be. God's Spirit resides within us, and the Spirit of God empowers us to live in a manner that reflects His character. Today on Insightful Living, Chuck Swindoll presents another message in his brand new series about the fruit of the Spirit. In this study, we're getting acquainted with 9 qualities that reflect our Christian faith. Along the way, we're coming to understand how to express these virtues in a broken world. Chuck called this message, Courteous Twins in a Corrupt Culture.
It's a wonderful thought when we realize that the Spirit of God exists for many reasons, including the producing of 9 great virtues in all our lives as the people of God. We're looking at those 9 virtues one by one together: love, joy, peace, and patience we've already looked at, thought about. Today we're taking 2 together that are sort of like courtesy twins in a corrupt world: kindness and goodness. Next will be faithfulness, followed by gentleness, and ultimately self-control. Wonderful virtues we all would love to see in ourselves and in one another. When they're there, it's amazing what it does as it relates to our harmony and our cooperation and our attitude in life, not just in our families and at the school we attend or at the place where we work, but here at our church. We're looking at and thinking about kindness and goodness today. I thought about looking at these 2 through sort of a backdoor view out of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 24 through 32. These 9 verses cover a number of things that are not to be present in the lives of God's people, even though they unfortunately often occur. Not just in the first century people of Ephesus, but in the 21st century of our times. Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 24. I'll be reading these verses from the New Living Translation. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger continue and control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good, hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul and abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Wouldn't it be a great place to live if all of us in the family of God evidenced those qualities on a regular basis?
You're listening to Insightful Living. To prayerfully support this Bible teaching ministry today, please visit our website at insightfulliving.org.uk. And now the message from Chuck about courteous twins in a corrupt culture.
If you want to know what water is, don't ask a fish. This ancient Chinese proverb makes us wonder, why not? Well, fish don't even know they're wet. Even though they're immersed in water and they need it to survive, they can't exist without it. They have no clue what water is. It's a part of their lives, but they're oblivious to it. When you think about it, you realize that the proverb is neither talking about fish nor water. It's talking about people and our culture. Believe it or not, we can exist in the midst of this environment. The biblical word is age, this age in which we live, this culture, and become so much a part of it, we are oblivious to what it is doing to us. Before long, we think like everyone else in this culture. It's called groupthink. We don't really see what's happening. We react to our times. Before we know it, even though we are oblivious to what is occurring, we are changing so that we fit into it like a hand in gloves. That's not what the Lord wants for his people. Paul wrote it this way, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." So it all begins there, where we think. In the realm of our thoughts, it is easy to be consumed in what we are oblivious to. J.B. Phillips renders it with a paraphrase, "Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold." Oh, we see that happen all the time. And when we observe it, clearly we realize that two common things are missing. One is common sense. Just common sense. How often we will say to a friend or our married partner, "What were they thinking?" And often the other one will say they weren't. In other words, they didn't realize the consequences of that decision. They're oblivious to that. They lack common sense. Lest we appear arrogant in this, we can lack common sense. Culture has a way of doing that to us. We even have words that tie in with culture, such as cancel culture. You know about it. You've read about it. Maybe you've been a victim of it. You're in a classroom, the professor expects you to think like he or she thinks. You don't, you're canceled out. You're in a group and you don't think like the group, you're canceled out. Group think. It's like a plague. You don't know you have it until someone who is objective enough to see it points it out. I find it interesting that in this world that God created, it wasn't too long before we read in the verses Genesis 6, 5, check it out for yourself. God saw that the wickedness of mankind was great on the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Did you hear that? That wasn't his plan in the Garden of Eden. He wanted his first created to be fruitful and to multiply and to fill the earth, to enjoy life, to care for the garden, to watch out for one another, and to eat of whatever would grow except that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And of course, that was the one tree from which they ate. At that point, sin entered. Romans 5:12 states, through one man, that would be Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all humanity, for all have sinned. David even says in one of the Psalms, my mother who bore me was sinful, and I too am sinful. So we have two strikes against us as we get started. We're born wrong. Built within us is a nature to do wrong. Common sense gets lost in the process, and we begin to think wrong. There's another common something that is conspicuous by its absence. Common courtesy. Have you noticed? Of course you have. But we are overly tolerant and we look past it. God doesn't. He doesn't. He doesn't yawn and say, oh, that's okay. That's kind of the way it is in a world like this. No. He sets his standard, and we're reminded of it, not in the schools we attend. Even in the highest of the learning we go through, we don't get it there. We don't get it in the military organization we become a part of. We don't get it in the business world. We get it from the scriptures. And so naturally, that becomes the watershed issue of our day. The scriptures are attacked, even put down. Why, of course. Because those who know the scriptures have an edge on how to live. They understand the culture, or as best we can. And we don't say that out of arrogance. Common words like thank you, or excuse me, or please forgive me, or the flip side, of course I forgive you, or the one that follows thank you is in common courtesy, you're welcome. Not now, it's no problem. Whatever problem is, that's what you hear. You don't hear you're welcome. You can't remember the last time you heard it. It's all no problem. Shove it off as if there's nothing there. There is something there. An offense was there. And you're saying, please forgive me. And of course, it is so easy when someone becomes something in this world and gets caught up in it, to expect special treatment. Another characteristic of lacking common courtesy is expecting to be first. It's wonderful to meet up with individuals who are true celebrities in the world's estimation, but they don't promote that. It's nice to know that some who are really well known don't remind you of that. I read some time ago about a woman who had stopped quickly at 31 Flavors to get her favorite ice cream cone, a double-decker, and she got in line, and the line was fairly short, and then after she got in line, others came in behind her. She was in Beverly Hills, and a couple of people behind her was the well-known actor Paul Newman, and she said to herself, I'm not going to get flustered. He's just another human being. Has to put his pants on one leg at a time, just like anybody else. She gets her ice cream cone, double-decker, pays for it, gets out in the car, fishes for her keys, and realizes she doesn't have her ice cream cone. So she's got to go get back in there, and sure as the world, she's going to see him, he's going to see her, and what's he going to think? Well, he was very kind. He said, hi, you're back. And she said, yes, I am. He said, you lose something? She said, yes, I did. I can't find my ice cream cone. He said, you put it in your purse. Why do we do that? We're enamored over big names. Nobody's a big name on this earth unless you buy into the culture. And then you bow to it. And you march in step with it. And before long, you don't know what water is. You don't realize how much you're caught up in it. And may I add, no extra charge here, neither do your children. You see, one of the reasons God gives parents to children is to help children understand the value of common sense and common courtesy. Even though it will never make the headlines, or rarely will make the headlines, God thinks so much of these courtesy twins, kindness and goodness, he puts them in the cluster of nine. And because they're so similar, I see them as twins, courtesy twins needed in a day when we've lost our way. Courtesy in traffic as we drive. Courtesy at the market where we shop. Courtesy in the neighborhood where life gets close. Certainly courtesy even in the family where you're with each other. And children learn from this. I always know when I meet a courteous young man or woman, they have great parents. They're not born with courtesy. We learn it, just as we're not born with prejudice. We learn it. And since it's learned, it's important enough for the Lord our God to add it to the list of these important traits. I made a quick list. When a physician has kindness and goodness, she or he is tender. They have good, what we call, bedside manners. When parents have kindness and courtesy, they listen just as well as they talk. They hear what their children are saying. They pay attention. When counselors have goodness and kindness, they are courteous. They are compassionate in their dealing with their clients. That's why you want to go back. They treat you, here's a word, with respect. another act of courtesy that's lost. When a pastor has goodness and kindness, he has a heart. When a teacher has goodness and kindness, he or she cares about the students. Not just getting across the lesson plan, but caring about how that youngster or that teenager is doing. I know of a particular seminary professor who had just handed out his exam. It was a final exam. Much of the grade rested in that. And he noticed one of the men sitting near the front was pretty disturbed when he was given the exam, and he leaned over and he said, is everything all right? And the young man said, actually, it isn't. I think as I take this exam, if I'm able to take it, my wife is packing and leaving from our apartment. We had a terrible argument. I didn't have time to make it right. I had to come to class, and the prof said, give me that exam. You go home. You make things right. Well, the seminarian couldn't believe it. Went home. Sure enough, she was packing. He had her stop, and they sat down together at the kitchen table. And with courtesy and kindness and goodness, they worked out the argument. He came back that afternoon to take the test, and the prof said to him, actually, you've already passed the test. You did very well. You made an A. When I interviewed that particular student and asked, does any professor at the school stand out in your mind? Guess who he named? Of course. He named the professor who cares. When you have kindness and goodness, you care. I understand. Some of you think, is he through yet? The answer is no. Because we all need to hear this. You won't hear it anywhere else. You won't read this in the media. Rarely will you see acts of kindness. On occasion, when you do, it makes a special feature in the evening news. I mean, look at this. It should not be that rare. With all the believers there are on this earth,
one at a time, we're looking at all nine aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. And today, Chuck Swindoll is talking about two of these virtues that are quite similar in nature, goodness and kindness. He called his message, Courteous Twins in a Corrupt Culture. It comes from a brand new 9-part series on the fruit of the Spirit. And to complement this series, the team here at Insightful Living has created a Bible study workbook that contains 9 chapters, one for each sermon that Chuck presents. This workbook for our series on the fruit of the Spirit is part of our Searching the Scriptures Bible Studies collection. In addition to Chuck's study notes, there's plenty of room for you to jot down your observations and reflections. It's like a journal of sorts, where you'll keep a permanent record of the things you learned about each fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. To purchase the Searching the Scriptures Bible Study Workbook today, go to insightfulliving.org.uk. Many in our listening family have been asking about Chuck's view on leadership succession. Who will become the next Christian statesman for our generation? And how will we appoint them? Well, Chuck wrote a brand new booklet in which he shares the biblical story of Moses passing the baton of leadership to Joshua. Chuck weaves his own story into this illustration, and he describes how God intends his work to flourish when leaders mentor their successors. Chuck's booklet is called How to Follow a Giant, and a copy is yours today when you give a much-needed donation to support the Ministry of Insightful Living UK. Simply request your copy when you visit us online at insightfulliving.org.uk. I'm Terry Boyle. Join us when Chuck Swindoll describes what he calls courteous twins in a corrupt culture on Tuesday on Insightful Living. The preceding message, Courteous Twins in a Corrupt Culture, was copyrighted in 2023 and 2024, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2024 by Charles R. Swindoll Incorporated. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.